97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock ya.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Misnelli Show. Another hot day, both inside and outside. The inside, we'll continue the discussion that has been pretty hot chat for the last several days as we wait sports taking over so we can actually divert our attention from serious issues and go have some fun for a change. So it is the Mike Misnelli Show. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And we will obviously continue to talk about the Deshaun Jackson situation today. And here's the thing. Apparently, there are a lot of people who aren't getting what I'm saying about this. And apparently, on our social media, on our Twitter account, there is some kind of perception that I'm being soft on this, and being soft on Deshaun Jackson. Let me just, for the record, give you my clear understanding of this and clear interpretation of this. If you were listening to this show immediately after that happened, my first reaction was to say he should be cut. Okay? I made no bones about it. I thought it was heinous, and heinous is what heinous is. When Riley Cooper happened, I was one of the guys that was tooting the horn to get his ass out of town and cut him. And so here we go with the Deshaun Jackson thing. And some things are so heinous that you can't justify them. But I also, to be honest with myself and you, and if you're being honest with yourself, there's a caveat to this whole thing. And the caveat is that I'm not in charge of the business of the Philadelphia Eagles. And sometimes we make the mistake constantly of looking at a situation only with our eyes. Now, a lot of this backlash towards the not suspending Deshaun, which is not what I said at all. He deserves some kind of punishment, okay? But a lot of it is coming out because somehow white people are thinking they're getting the bad end of the stick here. And we'll talk about that more in detail. This is a very important discussion that we need to have. Now, here's the caveat. The Eagles have to look at it like this. They have to decide this issue with eagle eyes. See what I did there? I didn't mean to do that. That's just the way it came out. So let's take it one step at a time. What I think, he needs to be either cut or suspended. Now, you go, okay, well, how could they do that if they didn't do that to Riley Cooper? And again, you have to look at it through eagle eyes, because that's a major part of looking at it through eagle eyes. So they can say, well, I hear you on that, but the intensified cancel culture has forced us to do something that we didn't do several years ago. We were wrong several years ago, but we now can't ignore it. Now, they could very well say that. I don't think they were going to say that. They can say, ultimately, we think doing it now in this climate is doing the right thing, because it was heinous what he said. Now, the reality is that when you do that as an entity, as a corporation, you now must face backlash from black people who are looking at it and going, oh, all of a sudden it's okay. It's okay with the cancel culture when you wouldn't do it with Riley Cooper. And if you don't think that's going to happen, you're very naive. All of a sudden, it's okay. It's a black athlete. Oh, Riley Cooper, you went overboard. Same ownership group. Didn't do it. Got to consider it. Through eagle eyes, you have to consider it. Now, here's the big one, because somebody asked me on email, wow, would you be saying this if it was Carson Wentz and Lane Johnson did this? And there's where the caveat comes in. Because the bottom line, looking at it through eagle eyes, is to say some players are more important than others. NFL and professional sports, not a democracy. It's why one guy gets paid more than the other guy. They've defined the rules. This guy's more important. He makes more money. So that's got to be considered. So when you suspend a guy or when you cut a guy, as the eagle eyes say, okay, A, the team suffers. B, because the team suffers, the fan base suffers. C, the owner suffers because he's got people to answer to and he's out cash. He just gave the guy a big contract and now he's got to sacrifice his bottom line to do this whole thing. We could sit here and look at it through our own eyes and say, well, if he would have done that with my corporation, he would have been out. It's not as simple as that. So I don't know what you're misunderstanding with me. I've already on the record saying what DeSean Jackson did is heinous. I was on the record when Riley Cooper did it. My first instinct was it's so heinous you need to cut the guy. And I wouldn't, see, when I look at DeSean Jackson, okay, he's an important player. He's not as important as some other players. DeSean Jackson right now is a cross your finger player. You don't know what you're going to get from him. Now, is that hypocritical of me? Yes, it is. It's hypocritical of me. But it happens to be the reality of sports. Not all people are equal when it comes to sports. And there's a sliding scale on what you can do to certain players when it comes down to this. Now, I don't know if I just confused everybody. Did I clear anything up, Tyrone, with that?
You did. You made it clear. The point is, there's no illusions that what DeSean Jackson did wasn't bad. But you did bring up a point that I think that there are people who want equality in a way without following the eagle eye, as you mentioned. Because equality would mean DeSean Jackson goes to California with his mother for a week, comes back, and we never hear about it again. That would be equality. But there are people out there who want a different kind of equality. They're saying, oh, well, if this person's getting in trouble and if I can't say this and I'm not allowed to say the N-word anymore, then he needs to be blah, blah, blah. And that's what a lot of people are really saying, but they're afraid to call and just say it.
You're right about that. So let's get into it because there are two different things here when it comes to white backlash. There's the white Jewish backlash, which is totally, absolutely appropriate. If I was a Jewish person, I would be tremendously offended. And I would fight back really hard at this whole thing. But now it's moved into another direction. Because now white people feel that we're white people are bending so far over backwards that we're somehow going to lose our whiteness. That's the bottom line. And I always say, why do you feel the need to fight back as a white person? Because there is a black resurgence of overcoming racial prejudice all these years, that is somehow going to dilute your standing in life? Like all of a sudden, what, somebody's going to come in and repossess your furniture? Like how is it going to impact your world if we expand our mind for tolerance? This is what I don't get about white backlash. All right. Again, it's turned into a heavy day. These heavy days, I'm telling you, they leave me weary. But they're necessary conversations. And I just want to clear up where my point is here. My point is, what he did was heinous. There's nothing that I am trying to escape from DeSean Jackson as far as being angry at DeSean Jackson, disappointed at DeSean Jackson, and want him to be disciplined in some form. There's the other side of it, which is what the Eagles are looking at, where it's not as clear as you may think it's clear. And that has nothing to do with whether we're judging a black man more easily than we would a white man. 610-632-0975 is how you get into the conversation. We'll go over a lot of other things. Congratulations to the Union. I was watching the game. I saw my man score the goal, believe it or not, today.
Yeah, you did, Bedoya.
I slipped it on at the same time that they rallied. And he made there was a block shot. It bounced out to him, and he left-footed it.
Yeah, he did.
It's the captain.
Alejandro Bedoya. Energized by his appearance on the Mike Missanelli Show.
He is the official soccer player of the Mike Missanelli Show.
Yes, he is. All right, we're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, sorry, I had to make a coffee run. Again, it's a road trip, so let's get an update on our Twitter poll at 3:32 with Natalie Agonoff, brought to us by Paul B. Moore and Sons. Nat.
Alrighty, thanks, Mike. Today's poll, let's see, it has over 800 votes on this one. Do you agree with Kendrick Perkins that Joel Embiid should not have voiced that he was uncomfortable with the NBA bubble? 8% say yes, 92% say no.
All right, then I'm glad that because now let's hear it. Kendrick Perkins, you know, the dude, I think, has figured out that he can carve out a nice living in the media by being like what he was on the floor, like this brash dude, take no prisoners guy. So I don't know if he actually is like a hot take guy or this is what he really is.
I think he's a. That's who he was all along, but he didn't speak to the media and he didn't speak.
Yes.
He's allowed his actual self to show.
Right. Now, from a media standpoint, I guess he's gold because he's not afraid to say anything, right?
Yeah.
So Embiid yesterday, and we talked about it a little bit, how Joel expressed his fear about this. And, you know, and again, I was saying, like, once they get on the court, I don't think any of these things matter. They're going to be balling out because that's what they're used to doing. But right now, they're expressing their fear. So Perkins took a shot at Embiid for expressing his fear. Here's what he had to say.
Look, do you want to hoop or not? I don't hear none of the other contenders complaining. I don't hear Evan complaining. He's saying take ball. I don't hear LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard complaining. I don't hear Jason Tatum and Giannis complaining. And all they talking about is how they going to try to defend their championship. I don't see them complaining. By the way, they got a tournament that's going on right now, a TBT tournament in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm pretty sure those guys are not going to be in a billion-dollar bubble or they not in a great situation. They not complaining. They down there hooping. So I don't want to hear all that. To me, this is just an excuse. Get knocked out, this is going to be excuse because their superstar was halfway in. His mental wasn't there. Oh, I'm complaining. I don't know. I don't like the idea. Man, go down there and hoop. I ain't trying to hear that, man. That's a billion-dollar bubble. Check ball like Patrick Beverly say. Check it up.
What's on the music? What, they added that music track as he's speaking?
Yeah. They were showing Embiid highlights, I think, on the other side. Yeah.
All right. So, what to make of that? Come on, Kendrick. He's a human being, dude. You're safe and you're in a little studio bubble.
Yeah, he's working from home talking about somebody else doing something.
Isn't it just easy to pile on Joel? I feel like it's just, for whatever reason, the national analysts just like to pile on him and call him a baby and say that he's weak. And this is just another example of that.
Listen, you know what it is? It's jealousy.
Well, yeah.
It's jealousy in every form. Now, we can take the Shaq jealousy. Shaq's an accomplished Hall of Fame player.
Right.
But Shaq is jealous because he couldn't do the things that Embiid can do.
Right.
Like, he could never shoot a jump shot.
Yeah.
So that's the root of his jealousy. Mm-hmm. Kendrick Perkins was a mutt for most of his career, who got like a few rebounds and snarled at people.
Mm-hmm.
So he's jealous that he wasn't blessed with the talent that Joel Embiid has. So that's why it comes out in him.
Now, Embiid, they showed him going to the plane today. Embiid had on full suit.
Like a hazmat suit.
Hazmat suit, gloves, and a mask on when he got on the plane. And don't think that wasn't, I'm sure he's concerned, and that'll help him not get the virus and spread it. But that's absolutely a troll back at Perkins. It absolutely is. And Perkins already tweeted about it. I know, because this guy, he's just the best at it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? If you need to be in a suit, big guy, to get down there, be in a suit. Because you're about to be on a plane. If somebody has it, all that air, keep your mask on, keep your suit on, keep your gloves on. It's not that long of a flight. And then take it off when you land.
No.
I'm fine. I don't have no. Let's not take it.
Risks taken.
Right. Put Ben in one of them suits.
Yeah.
Put Josh Richardson. Put Tobias. And all the important players get a suit. The other players, you can wear your street clothes.
Yeah. That's fantastic, man.
Full suit.
By the way, one other thing. You know, I'm a big fan of irony. Especially if it's like ultimate irony.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, New York City painted the Black Lives Matter mural outside the Trump Tower in Manhattan. And I can't help but think of the Seinfeld episode with the Kenny Rogers chicken.
Oh, yeah.
When you look out your window, you see Kenny Rogers chicken.
Yeah,
and when my man looks out his window at Trump Tower, you're going to see like a Kenny Rogers chicken sign.
Yeah, that's going to be. That's going to be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is. That's all right. That's fantastic. I love irony like that. I love it. All right, let's go to Pete in Princeton. Pete, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pete.
What's up, guys? How are you?
How you doing, Pete?
As always, great. I'll disagree with you, Mike, on one thing, if you just hear me out for a second.
Sure.
The one thing I guess I'll disagree with is when you say Lori has to react and he has a fan base to worry about. Well, let me just use, and I'll use kind of use three as an example here. Riley Cooper says something that offends a whole group of people. Tyrone still roots for the Eagles. So him not cutting Cooper didn't affect what Tyrone did. Okay. Natalie Eganoff has a dog.
I'm like pretty sure he didn't root for. Wait a minute. Hold it. I'm pretty sure he didn't root for Riley Cooper, though.
Oh, but wait a minute.
Like what? Why would Riley Cooper be the whole, like, the green dye in the pool?
The example you were trying to say is, oh my gosh, Eagles didn't lose any fans over what Riley Cooper did. They also didn't lose any fans. Well, I thought they did when they signed Michael Vick. All my Facebook went crazy. I can't root for the Eagles anymore because he kills dogs and I'm a dog lover and whatever. Guess what? They didn't lose any fans either. They all still rooted for the Eagles.
They're not going to lose fans. That's not what I'm saying about Jeffrey Lurie. What I'm saying is perception and how people feel. Listen, we're helpless. We're going to go and watch the Eagles. They're not going to stop watching the Eagles. That's not really what I'm saying. What I'm saying is an owner, you don't want to have these little fires out there.
Well, Mike, I guess the point is what I'm trying to say is now we have the third incident with DeSean Jackson. We've had the Brett Myers incident, in the past as well. Still comes on the show. Still, whatever.
He doesn't come on my show. That dude was persona non grata as soon as that happened with me.
But he's still on the station, though, and he's still silly.
What station is he on? Who has him on?
Oh, you guys had him on the morning show all the time, playing his country music and stuff.
I'm not aware of that, but I tell you something. I'm not the program director, but that would come to a halt for me.
Yeah, okay, exactly right. So here's my point.
Mm-hmm.
What would have, because I had two different racial people giving two different racial groups an issue, what could possibly happen for anyone to stop rooting for the Eagles? And the answer is nothing.
But you're cutting it off there. It's a bigger issue than just who's going to root for the Eagles. I know people are going to root for the Eagles. You may get sponsors that turn away. You may get consternation in public relations. What I'm saying is you don't want choppy waters. That's what you have to always worry about as an owner of a team. Yeah. You got the fan base. You got them in the palm of your hand. They're always going to want the tickets. They're always going to watch the Eagles. I didn't even consider that part of it. I'm considering everything else that surrounds it. Let's go to Chris in North Philly. Chris, you're on 90s. Oh, hold on a second, Chris. We got a break. You're going to be first up on the other side. Let's take a break. We got one open line and actually two because one line's frozen. Six. What's wrong with that line?
The engineering knows about it. There was a big meltdown. Remember the thing at the start? Yeah.
So line number three is melted down. So don't get line number three.
They won't.
Yeah, sorry. All right.
They can't.
610-632-0960. Because you get line number three, a big electric shock comes through your phone. It zaps you. Be careful. 610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli Show back after this.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's talk some NFL issues and where the NFL is going, because it appears to a lot of people, including me, that the NFL just goes merrily along. And the people that run this league just go, this is the way we're going to do things. There's no such thing as COVID-19 out there. We're going to just proceed as if nothing happened. And not only that, we're going to ask our players to contribute and give up their salaries. So let's find out what's up with the NFL with our next guest, James Palmer, who works for the NFL Network. And he's on the Comcast Business Highline, Beyond Fast. Hello, James.
How you doing, Mike? Right off the bat, I started thinking of that Entourage episode where Ari tells E just they don't know what's going to happen. He says, whenever Vince asks you a question, just say, we'll work it out.
Yeah.
And they don't know what's going to happen. He just says, well, what's going to happen? Well, we'll work it out.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the thought process you got?
Are they going to work it out? Because, you know, I'm reading Malik Jackson going, it's unacceptable and utterly disrespectful to move forward without answering simple questions we've been asking since this pandemic started. And he's got a point. This NFL just plunges merrily along, and we don't get any answers, and nor do the players.
There is so much to cover in the next 3 weeks before these guys report. Getting all of it done is going to be a mountain to climb. I mean, there is so much to accomplish, and I think they thought that testing was going to be readily available, right? You were going to get tested, and you were going to find out immediately whether you have it or not, and that could happen over and over again, and we thought that maybe we'd be there by the time these guys were reporting, and we're not. With our testing, we've seen the way the testing has had its issues with some of these major league clubs, right, that are trying to go and practice right now, and then they'd have to cancel practices. I think the Angels happened to them because none of them got their tests back. So then they had to cancel practice for the rest of the day till all the tests come back. And so there was a lot of thought in May that things would be further along in how we are handling COVID, that they could go about their business. But in the next 3 weeks, when you have to figure out if you're going to have a system in place for players to opt out of the season if they'd like, if they feel uncomfortable and they have a reason, how do you figure that out? How do you figure that out economically with their years of service? Do you just push the contract a year back? That hasn't been figured out. They haven't figured out exactly how all of the testing is going to go. With what I said, everything they're trying to limit the opportunity of getting it, but they're really not in a place to completely protect the players right now. So there is a difficult spot where everything stands, and I know we'll get to the escrow portion of it. There's just so much on the table over the next 3 weeks before they report. They got to be working around the clock.
There are two ways I can look at this as a player. I go, okay, the NFL is really working hard to come up with some kind of protocol. They just haven't had it yet. Or the way Malik Jackson is looking at it, which is they don't seem to be concerned about our health at all. And he says, I ask you in this moment, you see us as people, not financial burdens or roster spots. Health is wealth for both parties. He's not wrong.
I don't disagree with him, because if you look at his argument, and the argument he has is the economy of things always drives everything in this country. And if he's talking about the health and well-being of them, if you're going to ask players to take, you know, 35% of their contracts and put it in escrow because there's a chance the revenue, and there's a very good chance, almost a certainty, that revenue will be down this year. If there's no fans or limited fans in any capacity, the revenue will be down. Well, they're still playing the game. They're still putting their body at risk. They're still going out there and risking injury, and you would say in this season, at a greater cap than any other year in the past, right? Because you throw in the COVID-19 on top of it. So I don't know how you would give back your money and put it in escrow, which is why obviously the Players Association is fighting against this in the manner in which they are, because at the same time, when the league does great, the players don't get any more money. As the franchises increase their power and their wealth, the players don't get any more of that money. So it kind of has to go both ways. Now, the one part, if they want to play no preseason games and the league wants to play two preseason games and they want to opt out of those two, I could see sharing some of the revenue lost in those two preseason games. But the other side of it, it's hard to argue that these players should do that.
Maybe I'm a dope. But, like, why? What would be the upside for me to give up 35% to put it in escrow for the league? How does that benefit me?
I don't see one.
This is the thing. The audacity. This league goes, well, they'll just want to do that. Like, what? Did they ask themselves the question, why would a player want to do that?
I mean, the thought and their argument is, well, you know, we're trying to make sure that we don't have an issue with the salary cap in 2021 and that there's less of a dip in 2020, we don't have a massive dip in 2021, and then your guys' future contracts aren't aren't suffering. You guys aren't going to have some veterans that are out there that are getting probably overpaid, that are going to have to be a victim of us having to cut the salary cap, and then some of your teammates and some of your friends are going to be cut because we don't have as much money. I mean, that's somewhat of the argument that is being made, but I don't see it as a player saying, why should I give up my money when I'm still the one out there playing, trying to play 16 games in a situation that is unlike we've ever seen before, that players are going to have to go through.
So they're supposed to suck it up and say, well, it's for the welfare of the league, the survival of the league. it's amazing. The players suggested flattening the cap, right, over the next 10-year CBA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why would that not appeal to the owners?
Of what, the players changing the cap?
Yeah.
Or being...
Yeah.
Well, the issue that obviously you're looking at something in the future and going and banking on it to be, continuing to growing at this pace. We all assume that's going to be the case, but nobody likes to put their money on something they don't know for sure. Right. My thought would be gambling looks like it's around the corner. The new TV rights deal is after this season. It would appear to me that the league is going to be financially in a very good spot. We usually see a huge jump in the salary cap, right? Each of these 10 years when a new TV rights deal comes, it's just a huge spike. And what you could potentially do, in my opinion, would be try to bridge that gap in 2021. If the huge spike's going to come in 2022, can't you borrow from the TV rights deal in a sense to hold yourself over for a year? You're going to go up big time in 2022. Why don't you just make it more of a natural curve and help yourself through 2021 as opposed to borrowing from 2020? It's all the economy, as we started this conversation, that drives all of this. The players are the ones that are just being told report on July 28th, and we're still trying to figure it all out.
All right, let's talk about the big issue in Philadelphia. It's the Sean Jackson situation. I know you've been following it. So I believe the Eagles are in a position now where they're trying to figure out what the best solution is. And, there are people yelling, well, he should be suspended, but it goes deeper than that. There's so many levels to this, not the least of which this new movie that Jeffrey Lurie is producing. So where do you think the Eagles come out on this, and what do you think should happen?
Well, the Jeffrey Lurie part, by the way, is just the ultimate wrinkle to what's happening in this situation, and it couldn't have come at a more opportune time to show what the issue is
right. And
the organization that he is a part of, and the ownership that he is a part of in this organization. I do think the thought process is to make sure that you replace ignorance with education. And I think that is kind of, in my opinion, the goal here. And I think what Julian Edelman kind of did in him reaching out to Deshaun Jackson, to me, is kind of similar to the way the Eagles would like to approach it, to where we need to make sure, and with the current situation we're in right now, with the social unrest, that the idea right now with Black Lives Matter and this, and I don't know why he didn't get ripped apart more for what has happened, in all honesty, that this needs to be solved with education and empathy as opposed to cutting complete ties. And I think if that's the direction we want to go with, which is what we're trying to show with the way the Black Lives Matter movement's going, well, then you got to kind of use it in the same matter as this. The part that I have an issue with is I don't know why more people in the league have not spoken up at how offensive this was as a comment. I mean, Drew Brees went out and was completely tone deaf in his comments, right, about the American flag and the kneeling, and he got ripped to shreds. But I don't think that was nearly as offensive as this. And I don't think the league has ripped him apart as much, and I think it's because the Black Lives Matter movement is so predominant right now. It's not like being anti-Semitic shouldn't be something that you should attack as well if somebody is that way.
When you talk about the league, you're talking about league officials? You're talking about the commissioner?
I'm talking, look at the players that reacted.
You're talking about players.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, players were extremely outspoken, weren't they, after Drew Brees came out? He had teammates like Michael Thomas who catches a million balls from him coming out and ripping him apart on social media. I haven't really seen that from players.
Well, I can give you a logical. I can give you a logical answer to that, and it is the backdrop of the Black Lives Matter movement. And maybe it's not right, but it is logical to think that black players aren't going to rip another black player who's involved in the same movement that they are involved in. So, and you can disagree or agree with that.
No, I agree with it. That's the part that I don't get. As active as Deshaun has been in the Black Lives Matter movement, it makes the comments to me make even less sense and doesn't add up even more so.
All right. I get that. Now, here's the thing. The Eagles have kind of set themselves up here. Now, in the backdrop of the racial climate being as hot as ever, it's different than the Riley Cooper era, even though it shouldn't have been. But they did not suspend Riley Cooper. And so if they suspend Deshaun Jackson, you got that kind of backlash to deal with. So I think the Eagles aren't going to go there. I think they're going to do what you said, the education part of it. Now, do you think they should suspend him or they will?
I think, like what I started out by saying, I think it's the education and the empathy of teaching that they might go that route. And I think that will show kind of the man that Jeffrey Lurie is.
Uh-huh.
It's funny that we talk about this you know, documentary taking 3 years to put together, and kind of show where he stands in this, to where I want to educate as many people on anti-Semitism as possible, as opposed to punishing people. Mm-hmm. Let's educate people and make sure that they don't continue to spread, you know, negative preaching and continue to learn and educate themselves. Yeah.
I got you, and I think that's the way it's going to come out. James, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you too, Mike. Take
care. There is James Palmer at NFL Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.